Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is on assignment in Germany. This is podcast number 444, July 25th, 2010. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Cameron Karting. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, what was Ferrari thinking? This is a team sport and team orders will always be around. Why did Felipe do it? And of course, another flexi wing controversy ears its ugly head. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Absolutely great. Here we are, Germany. I know Nasser is out there getting the interviews nonstop, hustling basically. Had a little rain.
Certainly made practice interesting.
It did. Made people look good. But I have to admit, Fernando Alonso and Ferrari on top of the time charts, very often looking strong.
Certainly stepped up to the plate this week compared to Silverstone when we expected them to do pretty much what they did this weekend. They definitely stepped up their game. Really competitive with the Red Bulls this weekend. Though McLaren, with their new blown diffuser, really weren't showing a lot of pace, and poor Jensen Button, at least until we got to qualifying, just couldn't get a good lap.
Exactly. You know, they were struggling. Not sure if it's the new diffuser, or of course Bridgestone's coming in with the super softs, and then the hards with extreme compounds, trying to emulate Canada.
I think the problem with that with this particular race is that it lost its newness. It was kind of a surprise for the teams in Canada, so
right.
It played a lot bigger role this weekend. It really doesn't play nearly that kind of part in this race.
I agree. Let's go right to qualifying. We have good weather for qualifying, and of course, we do have a flexing wing controversy. Photographs of practice of the Red Bull and the Ferrari front wing. Some people say it's flexing, going lower, giving them a little advantage, but in the end it passed FIA scrutiny a number of times.
Yeah, it's like it was back when they were having the same issues with the rear wings, where basically you put the proper load on it and it doesn't give, and frankly sometimes stuff that you see on camera can kind of be a little bit of a optical illusion. That it may be giving a little bit, but it's not truly flexing.
I agree. Also, this weekend, it's 40 years of Peter Sauber being in motorsports for 40 years, which is a pretty big...
That's a big milestone for just about anybody, and basically for a single individual to be around that long.
Yeah, and of course, it's 40 years of Formula One being at the Hockenheim Ring. So lots of anniversaries. Everybody's pretty happy. The lights go out in Q1, and Ferrari, not wasting any time, are attacking. A lot of times you see these big teams hold up and you're wondering why.
Yeah, well, not today. I think Ferrari may have learned their lesson from Malaysia and basically going with the there was a threat of rain in qualifying, and I think that they did the smart thing. Get out there, get a lap in the bank, and then worry about taking it easy.
Also, Adrian Sutil had a gearbox change, so he will be getting a 5-grid place penalty.
Yeah, going to be a rough weekend for Force India.
Yeah, Force India is just, and it's coming up. I mean, 14 minutes and 30 seconds to go. Adrian Sutil, no, excuse me, Vitantonio Liuzzi, his teammate, hits the corner coming into the straight in front of the grandstands, and I guess the wheel touched the AstroTurf right there.
Yeah, he got a little wide and got a lot of standing water off track.
There was still some wetness.
And basically, he gets off, gets just past the, basically he straddles the curb, and then you just watch his back end just kick out, and he's gone, he's toast. He's off into the pit wall.
And it was a pretty bad,
pretty good
shunt. The wheels were flying off.
Yeah.
It was pretty bad.
Got a front tire rolling across the track, nearly got it, was an HRT?
Right. No, it was,
was it a Virgin?
It was Timo Glock. It was Virgin.
Yeah, a Virgin. You know, those two cars quite a bit light from the front. But yeah, I probably only missed him by 10, 15 feet. A little scary moment there. And it took Vitantonio a long time to get out of that car, too.
And he looked like he was hurting a little bit.
Yeah, he stunned. That was a kind of a oblique angle hit, so probably really twisted him around inside his harness.
And I first thought there were questions whether they could put that car back together in time for the race.
Yeah, because he completely demolished the front suspension. And he must not have done very severe damage to the chassis because he was ready to go when the race started.
Exactly. The race was restarted at 2:13. I mean, the qualifying was restarted at 2:13 their time. And it was Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Jenson Button, Lewis Hamilton, and Robert Kubica in the top five.
Out in the first session are the usual suspects.
Huh.
Both Cosworths, Jarno out-qualifying his teammate, Heike. Timo out-qualifies Lucas Degrassi, who really did not do very well. He never even got on track. And then Bruno Senna out-qualifies Sakan Yakamoto. And Vitantonio, actually, before he had his crash, had out-qualified Sakan and qualifies in 22nd.
Let's go right to Q2, Steven. It was exciting because Fernando Alonso was looking really, really fast. And I thought, man, I'm going, it's too bad they couldn't put this together earlier.
Yeah, the Ferraris, both Ferraris are looking pretty strong. You know, Massa's actually putting down times better than Fernando's in a couple of, basically he's outpacing him at points. The Ferraris look like the McLarens did 2 weeks ago, basically right on the heels of the Red Bulls. And actually maybe just a tiny bit faster at points.
Not only that, but Felipe Massa was right with Fernando doing an outstanding job. He really was able to put it all together this weekend.
Yeah, definitely a much more competitive teammate this weekend in the practice and qualifying sessions.
And on top was, again, Fernando Alonso, Felipe Massa, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, and Lewis Hamilton. Mark Webber not having... I think they gave him the older wing this week because the wing controversy over, and we were hoping, and it wasn't talked about too much. I mean, he was interviewed probably 1,500 times this weekend because that kept going on and on and on, but maybe it was bugging him a little bit.
It certainly seemed to me maybe a little bit of a distraction because he was not nearly as quick this weekend as he was at Silverstone.
Exactly, and once again, Force India, surprising, didn't make it to Q3, and they seem to be having some issues.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the other teams getting ahead of them or if they were just, this track just was not suited to their car. They just were not really having a good weekend all the way around. And I think they may have been one of the teams that was kind of hamstrung by the messed up practice sessions in the rain. They never were really able to dial the car in to run on a dry course, and they were off track several times, I believe, in the practice sessions, and I think that basically slowed them down.
I agree. So Adrian Sutil was out, Sebastian Buemi, Jaime Alguersuari, Pedro de la Rosa, of course, Michael Schumacher. That was a surprise in front of the people of Germany.
Yeah.
He really tried.
Yeah, he was close, but you know, he actually is only outqualified by his teammate outqualified him by like about 8/1000ths of a second to knock him out of the session. So you know, close but no cigar. You know, horseshoes and hand grenades.
Exactly. Vitaly Petrov was out as well, which you know he's Kobayashi. Fighting. He's and Kobayashi, but still, Vitaly needs to do the. He needs to be right behind Robert Kubica.
Yeah, well, he definitely needs to be a whole lot closer than he is. Again, and also Pedro de la Rosa out, as well as the two STR Ferraris. Pedro's another guy that a lot of people are talking about is racing for his job right now, in that he's not going to be at Sauber next season unless he can really show some better pace. Yeah, Petrov just needs to... He flashes of brilliance, but it's like, you know... That's not going to keep your job, buddy. You got to be consistent.
And I've noticed that even though Kobayashi's had some good qualifying runs and making it into Q3, their race pace is always better than their qualifying.
Yeah, Sauber definitely a better... Actually, what it probably is this car probably runs better heavy than it does light.
Correct, exactly.
And so there's a disadvantage to them in that, unlike a car like... The RBR, where it's don't matter if it's light or heavy, it runs fast.
Yeah, and it's amazing that there are 6 German drivers in Formula One today, which is unbelievable because there's only 24 cars.
Yeah, it's amazing that you know they basically hold a quarter of the field with German drivers. And they were giving Michael Schumacher a lot of credit for the fact that the other 5 drivers. Are in the sport and doing as well as they were doing because he basically, you know, they all kind of were trying to emulate him coming up.
Exactly. Let's go right to Q3. Mark Webber and Felipe Massa out first. 6 minutes to go. Fernando Alonso puts in a 1:13.927, the fastest lap so far this weekend. Very impressive. The Ferrari is really working well.
Yeah, I don't know if it's track or they just nailed the setup, but they are definitely quick.
Yeah, all the teams pit around the 4-minute mark, except for Hulkenberg. He stays out on a clean track and tries to get it together, and he's doing pretty well. Williams have come a long way, baby, both making it into Q3. It's very impressive.
Yeah, and I think that's part of the reason that we're seeing the fallback on the Force Indias a little bit in the fact that the Williams have definitely leapfrogged them.
Absolutely.
As far as pace goes.
Absolutely. Phenomenal. And I guess they're working with Cosworth. It's really gelling.
Right. And also, their blown diffuser gave them some pace.
Serious pace.
Yeah, compared Absolutely. To some of the other teams that have picked it up. You know, if you look at, say, the Mercedes hasn't picked up nearly as much pace with their blown diffuser as the Williams has.
Exactly. But towards the end, it was still Fernando Alonso on top. It was very impressive. And once again, Sebastian Vettel as you. And for a minute there, because I had predicted Fernando on pole, and you must have thought... That for a minute there, Clark Rogers,
Let me see. Is he going to pull it off? Because
it was close.
He'd set a blistering pace.
It was unbelievable.
Unbelievably close. It's like you really can't be much closer other than a dead heat.
Two thousandths of a second separated. So basically, Ferrari now has the pace of the Red Bull.
Yeah, definitely.
It's done.
They've caught up. The question is okay, what do they both bring next week? Or what are they both going to bring when we get to Spa after the break? Well, I guess they don't work over the break anymore. So, but it should be interesting to see whether or not Ferrari can maintain this, can keep up.
And Felipe Massa, even though a few tenths off behind his teammate, still probably the best qualifying since Bahrain. Well, well done.
I think his best qualifying session of the season.
Yeah, you know? I mean, he's really put it together. And, of course, it was a year ago this day. That he was conked in the head by Rubinho's spring.
Yeah, scary moment that.
So Felipe Massa, you know, telling everybody that, you know, I don't have a problem. The spring didn't mess me up in terms of pace and attitude and really motivation.
No, I think fundamentally, after an injury like that, it's going to take him time to get back to pace, and he seems to be finally starting to reach that point. His biggest problem right now is the fact that he's got a teammate who's probably, if not the best driver in the world, he's one of the top three. And Felipe is definitely a 5-10 guy.
Okay, Steven. Anyway, let's go right to the German Grand Prix. Lots of excitement. Of course, the tires is pretty exciting. Luca de Grassi had to change a gearbox, hence fell out of qualifying, and more penalties would be levied for that. And, of course, with Fernando Alonso on the front row, Sebastian Vettel has got to be thinking, you know, I've got to get ahead because it's time for me to win a race from pole, which he hasn't done yet.
No, and I think what Sebastian really needs to think about is I need to get a good start and beat them to the corner.
Well, he's probably thinking Fernando's had some clutch issues on starts, certainly not the great starts that Fernando used to have at Renault. So Ferrari, you know, their starts are marginal. McLaren has much better starts.
Yeah, and the Red Bull starts have kind of been hit or miss. Sometimes they have phenomenal good starts, and other times you're like going, were you watching the lights, buddy?
I agree. So the lights go out, and I think Felipe Massa had a Red Bull. I think he drank a Red Bull right before the start, and it was, I mean, I was blown away how quick Felipe Massa took that lead. Fernando, meanwhile, is dealing with Vettel.
And Vettel is making the mistake of trying to deal with Fernando instead of getting his line to the first corner.
I agree. He should have been able to at least been P2 because he spent too much time pushing Fernando into the wall and worried about Fernando. He forgot that Felipe Massa
was right behind him,
who's the number two at Ferrari, was not following orders and had taken the lead.
At that point.
Exactly. So I think Fernando and Sebastian Vettel were stunned.
Well, Sebastian Vettel actually lost third place to Lewis Hamilton, but was able to regain it before the end of the lap.
Correct.
Maybe he needs to get a driver coach or something to kind of talk him through this a little bit, because this is the second, third, fourth time that he's done this where he's worried a little bit too much about the guys around him rather than worrying about getting himself to the corner, because Mark Webber basically did the same thing to him at Silverstone. It basically kind of distracted him enough that he was able to take the position.
And Mark Webber not having a great start, He gets passed by Lewis Hamilton. On the other hand, Michael Schumacher has a great start, leaps three cars, even gets by his teammate, Nico Rosberg. Adrian Sutil, not having a good day, has to pit. Had a little contact.
Yeah, he ran into somebody, but he's not. On this lap, a couple close quarters. Was the next lap.
Well, Adrian Sutil and
Fitzantonio.
Yes, they had a little contact. And, of course, Haumi Aogashwari slams into the back of Sebastian Buemi, knocks off his rear wing. So Buemi pits, but it's just too much damage, and he is out of this race.
I was kind of surprised about that, considering how early in the race it was. That they didn't just pull the back bonnet off and put another wing on, but maybe they didn't have a spare, maybe there was more structural damage further down. Because I'm amazed at how hard his teammate hit him going into that hairpin.
And, of course, after the race, Aogashwari apologizes to the team and to his teammate. Lap 2, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:20.064. Yarno Trulli is slowing, and he pits. I mean, these new teams. I mean, and I like Lotus. I think they've got, you know, great heritage, even though this is not the real Lotus, but it's close enough.
Yeah, they get him back out, but it's kind of all for naught. He's not going to make it the rest of the way.
Yes.
At one point, he's almost basically giving a really whole new meaning to moving chicane. Because he's going around the track in like second gear.
Exactly.
A couple of spots where it was getting a little scary.
I agree. But he did move over. He's a consummate professional.
Yeah. He got himself off track.
Exactly. Lap 3, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa really banging him out with a 1:19.501. He's leading the race. He's pumped up. A year ago that day, He was hit in the face. He's feeling pretty good. And right now, he's ahead of Fernando Alonso. And this is the best possible scenario. And uplifting. He needed some excitement.
Considering the way his season's been going, he's got to be excited, ecstatic. He's, I'm out front. I've got clean air. I'm putting down good laps. It's going to be a good day.
And Ferrari, obviously, and we said this before, they have to. This is it. If they don't score great points in this race, they are done for.
Well, definitely is going to, they'll probably come out and say that they're still in it. But we know that without a huge points haul this weekend, they can pretty much write it off.
So they've got it. 1-2. Massa, number two, is in the front, and number one is right behind him.
There are 1 and 2 drivers at Ferrari?
Of course, there always have been. Come on, Steven. Lap 4, Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, and Mark Webber round off the top 5.
And then we see something really weird.
Adrian Sutil pitting again?
Yeah, and probably it's like definitely not a good weekend.
It's for terrible. Force India. I think they get the tires mixed up.
Well, basically, Sutil goes back into the pits because he's got one soft tire on his left rear, and it's like, what? And then we see his teammate come in the next lap because he's got one hard tire on the left rear.
It was a complete disaster for Force India, and it went on and on and on.
Yeah, well, that was just kind of, salt in the wounds because it's going to get worse.
Exactly. Lap 5, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso says, ha ha, not so fast. You little Brazilian, I am coming to get you.
Yeah.
With a 119-292.
I didn't hear, did the stewards ever, they were talking about penalizing them for going out with an odd tire?
You mean the Force Indias?
Yes.
They will be reprimanded after the race. They get a little talking to.
Okay.
No because monkey business.
I'm like thinking, the fact that they found it, they came back in, they took care of it, I think that's more than enough penalty.
I agree.
Taking that second pit stop.
Exactly. It was quite brutal. And quickly to remind everybody, Renault, Robert Kubica, and Vitaly Petrov do not have the F-duct when, in fact, the top teams do now.
And Robert Kubica still is driving like he does. It's like, it's amazing how good he makes that car when it's really not that great a car.
Exactly. Jarno Trulli comes back out on the track for Lotus. Lap 6, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso with a 119.153. And Jarno Trulli on this lap decides to pit again.
Yeah, it was kind of just like an installation lap. Went, nope, we didn't get it fixed.
Yes, and Vitantonio Liuzzi, he pits, and they're trying to figure it all out. And it's like the Keystone Cops in there. I don't know what happened, but I think the curry had been poisoned.
Ooh, no. Not the curry.
It happens. Lap 9, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso, 118.965. And Kamui Kobayashi is doing pretty good. He's in P10. And once again, the Saubers
are competitive.
They are competitive.
I don't know if you could call them a new team, but they're a pseudo new team. But again, Sauber's been in the business for 40 years, been in racing 40 years. Sauber's been a team for, who knows? How long has Sauber been in Formula One? They've got that background. One of the things they were talking about on the speed broadcast today is that the three new teams don't have any history to go back and look at. They'll break something, they'll fix a gut, and they'll break out something else because they don't know what works and what doesn't.
And the worst part, without testing,
yeah, you really can't go out and break it to find out what's wrong with
it. And I think a lot of the lack of testing is also hurting Michael Schumacher because Schumacher was used to tremendous amounts of testing at Ferrari.
Well, the laps, the extra, the laps to get, basically know the nuances of the car, basically know where that edge is so that you can really get out to it.
Exactly. Lap 11, fast lap of the race, Felipe Massa, 118.823. And the McLarens, even though they got the new blown diffuser, look quick on the straights, they still don't have the downforce that the Red Bulls and the Ferraris have in the slow corners and are just not keeping up with the leaders.
Yeah, they were incredibly quick in the straights, but wasn't enough to stay ahead in the slow corner.
Yeah. I was stunned. On lap 12, Sebastian Vettel pits from P3, but it was a good call because then he got clear track. So it was well done, and then he was able to pound in some good laps.
And of the first round of pit stops, I think his was the best because I think he came out at a 3.8. And everybody else, both McLarens, both Ferraris were in the 4.3s, 4.4s. And then I think the only one better was his teammate who got out in like a 3.8.
Well, Sebastian Vettel's the number one. You know, the number one always gets the better.
Well, Weber actually had a better pit stop.
Oh, really? Maybe they cleared that problem up over there.
Yeah, but wasn't much of a help to Weber because he was already too far behind the pack. But yeah, and it didn't really. This round of pit stops, really, nobody was close enough to anybody else to really get a good leapfrog.
And I would thought they were pretty early, but then what do I know?
The soft tires, you don't know how, you know, chewed up they are for Sebastian.
Some people
trying to catch
a long
up.
Time on those soft tires.
Somebody went, a couple of guys went amazingly long. One guy went way too long, but the other guy who goes long, it's kind of surprising how well he was doing for so long.
Exactly. Lap 13, Fernando Alonso pits. Mark Webber pits. Lap 14, Felipe Massa pits. And Kobayashi, as Mark Webber is now back on track after his pit stop, is all over his bootay. But Mark Webber gathers it up and is able to keep him off and then finally takes off.
Exactly. Keeps him back there until he gets his tires warmed up and then he's off and running.
Exactly. Michael Schumacher pits on lap 14. Rubens Barrichello. Lewis Hamilton. And he comes out in P6. And some of the stops worked, some of the stops didn't. There was some, you know, Mark Webber had a little bit of bad luck falling into some traffic.
Yeah, when he came back out, it was kind of bad timing on his return to the track because he ended up in some traffic, you know, and basically right in front of Kobayashi, who was able to pressure him for about two laps before he was able to just blow him away.
Exactly. On lap 15, Jenson Button is now leading the Grand Prix, and I thought he was going to stay out there for a long, long time. But that wasn't the case.
Well, he stayed out there a lot longer than I expected him to. Like, I expected him in within two laps, and it was significantly more than that.
Now, Felipe Massa, now that he switched from the softs to the hards, was having a little trouble with these tires and was losing the rear end a couple of times and locking them up.
He was locking them up going in the hard braking zones, and I think that actually is going to come back to haunt him.
And Fernando Alonso was all over the bootay of Mr. Number 2.
He should have just passed him.
He should have, huh?
He should have.
Yeah. Lap 16, Robert Kubica pits from P8 out after the pit stop in front of Michael Schumacher. Michael Schumacher tries to take the position back, but Robert Kubica says no in Polish.
Yeah, which is probably no.
Exactly. Lap 18, Yamamoto pits. And at this stage, I'm thinking, you know, maybe Felipe Massa is holding up Fernando.
Well, Vettel's starting to close that gap between, you know, him and the two leading Ferraris. So there's a question mark, you know, and at one point, I don't know if it was now or a little bit later, that Fernando's like, this is ridiculous.
Well, you know, the problem is, you know, Fernando has Sebastian Vettel behind him in a Red Bull. So Fernando's trying to, you know, he wants some clean air to get away from this Red Bull and possibly take P1.
And maybe put a buffer between him and...
Exactly. And that was the interesting part as Fernando Alonso continued to try to pass Felipe Massa, but he just couldn't get... Because Felipe Massa was quick. I mean, he's in a Ferrari.
Yeah, well, he's in an identical equipment, and he's good enough that, you know, there isn't a big enough gap between the performance and their talents to allow Fernando to, you know, to take advantage.
On lap 21, I wrote down, Steve, will Ferrari tell Felipe Massa to let Fernando Alonso by? It's just a fleeting thought that came to mind. And then Fernando Alonso must have heard my thought, because as he's trying to pass Felipe, he goes, this is ridiculous. I should not have to pass a number two. I am number one.
I shouldn't have to pass him. I should just be able to pass
him. Exactly. He should just yield. It was a beautiful thing. Jenson Button pits on lap 22. And Bruno Senna pits as well. Jenson Button is now back out in P5 behind his loving teammate, Lewis Hamilton. But they're, you know, they have a love fest over there.
Loving.
And he doesn't mind having Lewis Hamilton in front. It's just a beautiful thing.
It's beautiful.
Exactly. Lap 23, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:18.711. Lap 24, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa again, who was struggling with the tires, but all of a sudden... Exactly. You know, I don't know if Rob Schmedley whispered sweet nothings in his ear, but he certainly picked up the pace. He put in a 1:18.646, and now he's flying. So there's no way Fernando's going to get by him because he's just too fast.
Yeah, he's faster than Fernando at
this point. Nico Rosberg pits on lap 24, comes out in P10 in front of Michael Schumacher. I love that stuff. Heikki Kovalainen pits on the following lap. And on lap 26, Felipe Massa bangs in another fast lap, and I'm starting to giggle a little bit. I mean, it was great.
Well, it was interesting. There were periods of time there where he started to stretch out his lead for like three laps, and then the following three laps, Fernando would close it up a little bit, and then the next three laps, Felipe would stretch it out again, and it was kind of this little accordion thing going.
Exactly. It was very exciting. Lap 28, the team tells Felipe Massa to focus. You can win this, baby.
Keep pushing. Basically, what Smedley was telling him is that you need to keep that gap open. Otherwise, team politics are going to come and bite you in the butt.
And Smedley has been at Ferrari for a little while now. He knows what's going on. He used to work at Jordan. But then Fernando Alonso puts in a fast lap. 118.075. Very exciting stuff. And it continues. Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso. And at this stage, the race was a little bit dull.
A little processional. The one thing I don't like about Hockenheim is it's such a narrow track. So really, you know, there's truly one good spot to pass, and that's at the hairpin. And you have to basically be side by side with whoever you're going after at the end of that straight so that you can either do an over-under or basically beat them out of the corner. And with the cars so pretty much evenly matched these days, it's really tough.
I agree. On lap 33, it's Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso, Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Mark Webber, Nico Hülkenberg, Pedro De La Rosa doing a good job, Robert Kubica, and Nico Rosberg rounding off the top 10. I just want to say that Hülkenberg and Pedro De La Rosa had not pitted yet. And Pedro and Hülkenberg was still on the softs that he started with on lap 34.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and it's actually going to come. It's coming back to bite him because his pace has fallen off pretty quick.
Exactly. Lap 34, Pedro De La Rosa gets by Nico Hülkenberg. Nico Hülkenberg pits on that very lap.
Because that's what happened to Hülkenberg. He couldn't. The tires were so gone, he couldn't fight.
And at this stage, I'm thinking, where's the tire excitement? This isn't, you know, they're always talking about trying to do what they did in Canada, but it certainly wasn't happening here.
No, definitely not. And again, I don't think, it's not catching the teams off guard like it kind of did in Canada. And two, I don't think this track is conducive to making that work as Canada was. Canada has three, four different spots where you can catch somebody and get past them. Like I think there are two in Germany where you can get away with it.
Exactly. On lap 38, Fernando Alonso puts in another fast lap with a 117.495, and Felipe Massa has lost a half a second on that lap to Fernando. So not sure what's going on there. Team begins to get on the horn, telling Lewis Hamilton to save fuel. Because like I told you a couple weeks ago, Steve, they start out with not enough fuel.
Yeah, which is... Well, I can understand it on one level, but on another, it's like going, you really want to take that risk? Especially if you're not, I can understand if you're on pole or the first row, because you know you're going to be able to get out ahead of the field and you can, you know, you should have points in the race where you can kind of take it easy. But if you're starting, you know, four, five, or six back, you're going to want to and need to push just about the entire race if you want to improve. And
I agree. Lap 39, Felipe Massa to Fernando Alonso, 1.1 second. Fast lap of the race, Adrian Sutil with a 117.300. He just got those new tires because he went in the gravel, pitted, got some new softs on, and banged out this fast lap. So obviously there's some pace. They just had really bad karma.
Yeah, the poor, like we've been saying the whole show, this was just not, you know, somebody did not... make the proper offering at the DNF Chapel this weekend because they were having they basically got, you know, they've been having a good season. They pretty much got most of their bad luck this weekend.
And then the team gets on the horn talking to Michael Schumacher. And am I right here? Did they tell him not to lift on the straights?
No, they were actually, I think they were telling that to Sebastian.
Mark Webber.
Yeah.
That's right. Pardon me.
It turns out that Weber was having some issues with oil consumption, and they basically don't want him to let up because it's basically causing more oil to get burnt.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I think also they want him to really fly in those straits to keep the cooling. Because oil consumption means less oil, hotter motor, because don't forget, oil lubricates, but is significantly
part of the cooling. Exactly. Significant component of heat transfer.
Exactly. So there you have it. Lap 40, Bruno Senna pits. Lap 42, Sebastian Vettel with a fast lap of the race with a 1:17.242. He has Fernando Alonso in his sights. Of course, lap 43, fast lap of the race again. Sebastian Vettel with a 1:17.170. And he does it again on lap 44 with a 1:22. Lap 45, Felipe Massa to Fernando Alonso, 0.8 seconds. It's getting pretty good. We got a good race on here, and I'm hoping Fernando Alonso could just zing him.
And I'm hoping it'll be a race.
Exactly. We love racing here. And it continues. Fernando Alonso to Sebastian Vettel is 5.4 seconds. So they're watching that. Fernando's thinking, Vettel could catch me. I need to get around Felipe Massa. The team tells Mark Webber to brake later and harder.
Yeah, because the
oil consumption. I know.
Well, that's another way to cool, because you're keeping the airflow as high as possible for the longest amount of time.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Lap 47, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso, 1:17.012. Fernando is flying.
And he's faster than Massa.
And quote unquote faster than Massa. The team gets on the horn and tells Felipe Massa that Fernando is muy macho. I mean, faster or macho.
And he's asked to be allowed. He's asked us to tell you to pull over, and we have to comply by contract.
Well, you know, Rob Smedley didn't sound happy when he said that. You could tell the tone and everything, the inflection in the voice. It was fascinating.
I think for Smedley, it's like, dude, if he wants to pass, pass him yourself. Don't make my guy give up the position.
And you know, as soon as I saw that, you could, I mean, it doesn't even have to be code. I mean, it's so easy to read through.
Yeah, Massa breaks really early going into the hairpin and just goes, okay. I'm surprised he didn't, you know, give him the bird as he went by or something. It's like,
you know, and Fernando Alonso, of course, passes him on lap 48. And Rob Smedley gets on the horn again and says, he's sorry. Now, everybody knows all radio frequencies are available for the public now, and all the television is monitoring it.
As is the FIA.
And I don't see why, to be honest with you, if I was Felipe Massa, I would have not.
I would have kept pushing until Fernando put himself in a position to get by me without, you know, by himself, not with me just giving it up to him.
To be honest with you, I think if Felipe Massa had said, forget it, I'm going to continue and do my race, it's very possible that Fernando would have gotten around him legitimately.
Yeah, I think
it's a lack of confidence at Ferrari in their numero uno.
That too. Or they don't want to risk them racing.
But it's a race, Steve.
I know, exactly. It's like, you know, maybe attempting to avoid a Turkish-type incident.
Because we had plenty of laps left, another 20 or so.
And Fernando's right on his butt. You know, it's pretty easy to pass in the hairpin if you set up the pass. I don't understand why.
I don't know either, but... and I
not
was
only that,
little...
it comes down to the fact that, you know, Fernando needs to pass him himself, just more for Fernando's confidence. And also because... Ferrari's, if it's Ferrari's a team and they're racing for the team, then what does it matter which of the two drivers finishes first?
Well,
because if they're a team, then it's team points. They would have had the maximum amount of points. Why does Fernando get to take the bonus?
Well, the team, you know, they do want the Constructors' Championship, but don't forget that the Drivers' Championship is always much more remembered than the Constructors' Championship. Even though the Drivers' Championship really reflects the driver, it's still the team that brought the driver the championship. So, and I'm sure, believe it or not,
Felipe Massa has been at Ferrari for a while. He knows what's going on at Ferrari. He didn't flinch. He let him by pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, he's played this role before.
You're kidding me.
You know, there's been one season where he was the number one, and every other season he's been number two. So I think he knows how to play the game at Ferrari.
I concur. Lap 49.
I'm shaking my head. I like Fernando as a driver, but I did not like this at all. And not only that, but having Fernando freaking out at every race in the past few races, why would Ferrari put Fernando in such an awkward position? Because they know the press are going to be all over it. And once again, he's just absorbing more controversy race by race by race. It doesn't end with Fernando now.
No, not only that, but I've actually seen something in Fernando, I think, this season that I haven't really seen in him in previous seasons, in that he's almost on the radio whining.
And you know what? He didn't used to do that. And he didn't do that at Renault.
No, he didn't.
Because Fisichella knew his spot.
Well, not only that, but Fisichella was never really in a position, and even when Fisichella was in the lead, there wasn't an issue with him, the fact that Renault was probably already leading the championship anyway, probably had something to do with it. But, it's kind of a... I think Fernando, it's really the first time that Fernando's truly had a teammate who is at least mildly competitive with him as far as ability.
I concur.
Whereas
I think Felipe Massa is competitive.
I don't think he's had that kind of teammate before. You know, Fisichella...
Well, he had Lewis Hamilton.
Well, and what, and that would be the other point in his career that I can recall him being a little bit
whiny,
testy.
I agree, and you know what? Everybody knows I'm a Fernando Alonso fan, but I have to admit that the whining is starting to get on my. It's irking me a little bit. And
yeah, it's like
it's got to stop.
You're a better driver than him. You don't need to have the team tell him to pull over. Just pass his ass.
Yes, I mean, and it seems like he's getting worse and worse.
You know, it's getting that. Starting to get kind of that prima donna-ish stage, and it's like, Fernando, you're a better driver than that. You don't need to be a prima donna.
I think it's beyond prima donna.
Diva?
God! I mean, it's out of control, but I agree with everybody that Fernando Alonso is whining way too much. Lap 51, fast lap of the race, Sebastian Vettel with a 1:16.669, and he's beginning to catch Felipe Massa. It's pretty exciting. Pedro La Rosa pits. Luca de Grassi spins, and he survives a spin to continue on. Lap 53, Luca de Grassi pits for Virgin, and he is out.
So he survived the spin, but obviously broke something doing it.
I'm not sure. It could have been another gearbox.
Could have been the reason he spun was something was...
Very, very good point there, Steven.
Tweaky.
Keep up the good work. Pedro de la Rosa passes Nico Hülkenberg on lap 54. And I'm already thinking this... You know, I'm still thinking about this pass, how flaky the whole thing was, and I'm thinking the stewards are going to investigate Ferrari. This is not going to be. It's not.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a steward thing, but you know the FIA is going to take a.
Well, they got Danny Sullivan, the winner of the Indy 500,
and a 15-time racer in Formula One.
Correct. So I don't know how they got Danny Sullivan. The problem is they have to get people that are available, willing to travel to Germany and eat bratwurst.
Yeah. Well, I'm like thinking, good. Hasn't it been like a guy from the country the last several times? What are they going to get Danny Sullivan from the States for? Didn't they have a German that they could have picked up?
Well, you would have thought they could have gotten Hans-Harald Frentzen.
Yeah.
He would have worked just fine. Or even Mika Hakkinen. He was there. He was hanging out feeling good, but he works for Mercedes. So there's probably some issues with some of these ex-drivers who are working, and then there could be contractual problems.
Yeah, there's probably issues with guys under contract to teams or suppliers that kind of can maybe disqualify them from.
Yeah, I think they should go beyond not just ex-drivers, but they should get podcast pundits.
There you go. Nasser was in Germany. He would have done
a great job.
So let's for the Italian Grand Prix. Let's get Flavio in there.
Flavio, bravo, 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 fantastico. Lap 55, fast lap of the race. Fernando Alonso puts in a 1:16.625. Timo Glock, by the way, finally pits on lap 55.
It's like refueling all over again.
It's pretty exciting. Lap 56,
Fernando Alonso first, then Sebastian Vettel. Pedro De La Rosa seems to have a problem. And, of course, that's because him and Heikki Kovalainen got together.
Yep, and now...
Front wing.
Yep, broke a front wing.
Yep, and it was Heikki Kovalainen's fault. He was a little sloppy on this.
Yeah, well, when you... Wasn't Heikki the guy in front of Mark Webber in Valencia, too?
It could have been. I don't know what's going on, but...
Is he now playing moving roadblock? Here, come up, run up behind me and break your car.
Exactly. And finally, we got some Renault team radio stuff. They tell Vitaly Petrov to shift into seventh gear early. You must shift into seventh gear earlier, or we're going to yell at you even more. He was brutal.
Yeah, I'm wondering if basically the reason they're telling him that is because he's running the revs too high.
Exactly. That's exactly not
only
that.
We want the engine to work next week.
And they
week.
Told him, if you don't stop it, we're going to turn those revs down ourselves, and you'll just be putting along out there.
Exactly. You'll look like you're going to truly go to the track.
Yeah. You know what? When I heard that, I'm thinking, you know what? This guy's toast.
Pretty bad when the guys in the pits have to send you a radio message to tell you when to shift.
Not only that, but when they know everybody's listening. That's brutal. Lap 58, Felipe Massa to Sebastian Vettel, 1.4 seconds. Lap 59, Pedro De La Rosa pits for his new front wing, autographed by Heikki Kovalainen. Now Felipe Massa to Vettel is just 1 second. Sebastian Vettel's thinking, you know what? Maybe I can get P2. Maybe he'll pull over for me.
Yeah, exactly.
It's my German Grand Prix.
Should have had one of the guys walk down from Red Bull, walk down to Ferrari and go, hey, can you have him move over for us too?
I mean, I figure, you know, what the heck? What the heck? Heikki Kovalainen pits on lap 60 and he's out. Of course, lap 61, Vettel puts in another fast lap and Fernando says not so fast. And he puts in a fast lap. Team tells Lewis Hamilton, you don't need to save fuel anymore on lap 63.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
After, like it's going to make any effort difference at this
point?
Yeah,
his race is blown. But nevertheless, it gives them a chance to have some fun out there. Vitantonio Liuzzi pits from P16. Very exciting stuff. Fernando Alonso continues to bang in the fast laps towards the end just to justify his machismo-ness and to make sure that everybody understands he was faster than Felipe and would have passed him inevitably.
Well, he should have just passed him inevitably instead of pulling rank.
Well, you know, I'm sure everybody, the press, I mean, you could hear the typists, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was just a buzz of busy, happy bees ready because now they had a new controversy and Mark Webber was the happiest guy because they finally out of limelight. So Fernando, it's not really his fault because really the team told Felipe to move over. Fernando's going to take it. What is he going to do? Hit the brakes and then you just sit there and...
commits for a few minutes while runs past him?
I don't know. Jenson Button goes wide on lap 66, but nobody passes him. He does a fine job of collecting it back up and staying in his position. Lap 67, the final lap. Sebastian Vettel puts in the final fast lap of the race with a 1:15.824. Of course, Fernando Alonso wins. Felipe Massa second. Sebastian Vettel, Lewis Hamilton, Jenson Button, Mark Webber, Robert Kubica in a strong seventh again. Nico Rosberg in front of Michael Schumacher. And Vitaly Petrov, after all that yelling, gets a point.
Good for Vitaly. That helps.
Oh, absolutely.
But actually, I think one of my favorite things, ever the conscientious teammate, what's the second thing out of Fernando's mouth after they congratulate him on the win?
Where's Felipe, my loving son?
Did Felipe hold on a second?
Yeah. That was bizarre. That was totally bizarre.
It was just weird.
Everything was construed. There was more acting. And the podium was... And you knew all this was going to happen. It was a disaster.
Oh, I'm watching Felipe on the podium. Looks like somebody stole his puppy. It's like
it was terrible.
Talk about a hag dog. Jeez.
Not only that, but and what I don't understand is if you know Felipe, you didn't have to. You could have just held on and gave us some excitement, but you followed orders because you know those orders are coming. It's probably in your contract. So why the sad face? You did what you were told. You work for Ferrari. You're happy at Ferrari. I thought he was over the top with the sadness thing.
Yeah, definitely.
It was.
Well, it would have been his first win of the season, and I can kind of understand a little bit of that. You know, there's a bit of disappointment.
Then stay in front. Yeah. There are no more pit stops. You had control. Yeah. And deal with the consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
See? Because nobody's ever going to say, Felipe Massa, el muy macho hombre de Brasil. Because that's not the case.
No, and then also, and then the interview questions too. It's like, you know, Fernando's like, they're basically hammering both of them. Fernando's trying to be, you know, courteous and friendly, and Felipe's just like, yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to explain this. This is but see, what I don't like is if you're going to relinquish the spot, I don't care if it's team orders or not, suck it up.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah. You got, you know, if you're going to step over, if you're going to actually give it up because of team orders, then play like, you know, you slipped a gear or something, like you didn't mean to.
Exactly. And I don't know if this win is going to stand. I think they could be stripped. I think Ferrari could lose their championship points. A lot of things could happen to this because, don't forget, Jean Todt's the head of the FIA. He left Ferrari sort of on a sour note in the end.
And Ferrari has not been the Teflon team that they have been in the past.
No, and I know Jean Todt had a good relationship with Felipe Massa. I don't know about him and Fernando, but there's a lot of strange things going on here. And, of course, immediately the leaders at Ferrari were summoned to Danny Sullivan's office. And they were given a $100,000 fine for...
Well, I thought they got around the rule by, you know, saying, you know, basically using the he was faster than him deal.
Well, unfortunately, in a statement issued in the evening of the race, the FIA stated that a breach of Article 39.1, which bans team orders, and Supplemental 151C, which relates to bringing the sport into disrepute, has been committed.
Ooh.
The penalty will be $100,000. And of course, the worst part is the case has been referred to the World Motorsport Council. So, I don't know. There's going to be, and we haven't had a good World Motorsports Council meeting on something exciting for a while.
Yeah, I don't think we've had a good one this season.
No. So I'm pretty pumped up about that. Of course, Ferrari, my good buddy Stefano Domenicali, said, as for the stewards' decision given after the race, in the interests of the sport, we have decided not to go through a procedure of appealing against it, confident that the World Council will know how to evaluate the overall facts. Correctly, Steve.
They're going to get hammered. Frankly, the fact that they've been fined already pretty much says that they're guilty.
Exactly. Now, Felipe Massa says, a driver always wants to win, so I cannot be completely happy with second place. I know that this year the team has lost too many points in previous races, and today it was important to do the maximum. Then smile and shut up.
Yeah.
Quit the whining, because now we've got two whiners at Ferrari. I'm serious. It's out of control. We've got, I mean, it's Spodi Odi Odi drinking wine over there. It's out of control. I can't take it anymore. I'm really glad that I'm a Ferrari fan.
And again, this is what we were talking about, was it 2 weeks ago, a couple of weeks ago, where the fact that the leadership at Ferrari is not making good decisions.
And I said, when they lost Ross Brawn, stable people, Rory Byrne, you know...
And that, John Todt out, John too. Todt,
you've got, this Latin freaking out, and that's what we have. We have the team freaking out. We have a Spanish driver freaking out. We have a Brazilian driver now freaking out because he did what he did. Oh, my God. But anyway... It went on for a little while. Stefano
Domenicali.
Exactly. He had to answer a lot of questions.
I'll bet he did.
I mean, I'm sure he knew this was going to happen.
You got to believe that it's going to when it's that blatant. You know, frankly, you know, if I'm Domenicali, I'm in Felipe's face for making it look too easy. You know, at least, you know, make it look like you slipped a gear or spin your wheels or something so it looks like, you know, you made a mistake and not just gave him the position. Because that's really the reason all of this is happening. If it looked like a legitimate pass, they could basically play that. But it was basically, here, Fernando, go ahead.
I know.
And it's like, dude, that is against the rules.
It was, you know, he just, you know.
You know, go into the hairpin and overshoot the corners.
Yeah, make a mistake. Go wide, you know. I mean, they could have done a better job. But anyway, Domenicali's, some of the questions were like this. This is a different situation from Austria 2002 because then you were dominant with no reason to do it. While here, you are playing catch-up and can make the decisions. Is it silly to have to go through this charade, or is it better to let the teams just do what they want? Domenicali says, it's a difficult question. I understand what you're saying, but at the end of the day, there is always a merit and a logic for both of the scenarios. I think what is part of the situation is that, first of all, on one side, there is the clear indication to protect the fight that every driver has to make sure they do whatever they can as fast as they can. You also have to think that the two drivers are part of the team. This is really a key factor of this situation, but the point is that it is a matter of consideration in order to make sure that there is no discussion. Basically, that's a non-answer.
Yeah, and also the whole line about team, if it's a team thing, then what does it matter which of the drivers finishes in which position? Because it's going to be the same points for the team either way. The only reason to be given for making them swap is that you maximize points for Fernando so that he is still looking at a possibility of being in the race. But the problem being is now is that has Ferrari shot themselves in the foot? They've gotten themselves back into a position where they're actually in the fight, but they may have knocked themselves out of the fight by doing what they did.
Exactly. Another question he took was, over the television, we heard several radio messages. Why did Rob Smedley apologize to Felipe after he had let Fernando pass? Domenicali says, it was not an apology. You have to consider the fact, and you can check with his communication on the radio several times in the past, that Rob Smedley is correctly in a very good conjunction with Felipe. This is the key of their success. He gave the information to Felipe and saw what happened, and he was not happy about the situation of the car that was not so fast.
Oh, so he's apologizing because
was slower than the other one. These are some of the most bizarre. I mean, these guys aren't even good politicians.
Yeah, it's like, really, you know, Stefano, I think you'd be better off going, no comment.
Yeah, I mean, it must have
been
frustrating. Because
you know that, frankly, at the very least, the World Motorsports Council is going to take a look at his testimony. This basically is testimony for the World Motorsports Council. And basically, dude, you look guilty.
No, the worst thing is they better fess up and tell the truth. Because you know what happens? If you tell the truth, you get off lightly. Just the way Renault did when they went about the one that shall not be mentioned situation last year.
Singapore Gate.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens. This is going to be exciting, and I think a lot of stuff is going to go down. Quickly, there were a few other exciting moments. The FIA has given the front wing designs of Red Bull Racing and Ferrari the all clear in post-German Grand Prix inspections following a flexi-wing row in the build-up to the race, which is good. And of course, Jaime Alguersuari apologized to his teammate Toro Rosso. Sebastian Buemi. He said that regarding the incident, I was on the inside going into turn 6 and I braked well, leaving enough space. But there seemed to be some problem in front of me, as the cars ahead all slowed much more than is normal. He said, I braked again, but it was not enough, and I drove into him. Naturally, I am very sorry. I had to pit for a new nose, and we switched to the soft tires at that point, having started on the hards. So there you have it. At least they've both been signed for next year, so
yeah.
What the hell. But anyway, the controversy is not going to go away.
And now let's go right to the 50 words from the forum on the race. And I think everybody was so disgusted that they boycotted the forum.
That was one
because,
of the
maybe
the
because of,
or maybe what happened is that you wrote the headline in German and maybe somebody they didn't understand it.
Well, that's because Ye usually does this, but this time it was done, I believe, by Kehe Sin. So there you have it. Anyway, let's go right to it. From Kehe Sin himself. Fernando's faster, Felipe. Can you confirm you understand that message? Yes, sir.
From Crazy Garen. Congratulations on Felipe. Oops, I'm sorry. Fernando's win today.
I know. We need a good controversy, and this is from Miguel, to keep us going. Other than that, boring races are back.
From Neon Zapper. Bottom line, Ferrari won. Excuse me, Ferrari won too. Kudos to Massa for his strategic sacrifice. It was almost like watching a cartoon Cars. As for Virgin, they seem to be doing things fairly well for a startup and appear to be in F1 for the long haul. Ye should be deducted one letter, A, in his name for throwing a big word to be read on the podcast.
That figures. From Iceman, Article 39.1, cynically ignored by Scuderia. 1 year on after his incident in Hungary, Massa is cruelly robbed of the win when Rob Schmedley radios, Fernando is faster than you. Do you understand the message? Quickly followed by, sorry, after the dirty deed was done. Shades of Austria 2002 all over again? Shame on you, Ferrari.
For Tifosi for life. Great start by Vettel. In the eyes of the Tifosi. Good F1 follies thanks to STR and Force India, and fire up the team orders debate because not much else happened today. Would repeat of Weber, Vettel, Schmalzel been better? Not for me.
From Ye, just when you thought Fernando couldn't possibly get himself immersed in more foul-smelling controversy, he gets totally immersed. Let's see if his polytetrafluoroethylene coating is up to this job.
Rathump writes, I dislike crybaby Alonso.
From H. Bright Music, spoiled brat throws a tantrum and sulks, but gets his way anyway and is handed a win. My mummy Ferrari. Ferrari had a brilliant 1-2 victory, but score an own goal by spoiling... Excuse me. Ferrari had a brilliant 1-2 victory, but score an own goal by spoiling it with a repeat of 2002. Red Bull and McLaren are still in the hunt. Mercedes must be kicking themselves for buying Braun GP, a disaster at their home Grand Prix.
Dr. Mark F. writes, dull race. It was jolly kind of Ferrari to drag their sporting heritage through the dirt again to give us a bit of entertainment.
And I'm going to reread my first one from Kehe Sin because I flubbed it up. Fernando's faster, Felipe. Can you confirm you understand that message? Yes, sir. Isn't it good that there are no more team orders anymore? Where are the Red Bull wings today? So there you have it. Thank you very much. Of course, We'll be talking about this with Nasser when he gets back from Hockenheim in the middle of this week. And I'm sure there'll be more news coming out of the FIA and Ferrari, of course, Fernando and Felipe, I'm sure, are, you know, probably at the company picnic.
They're probably on the plane back to Italy by now.
I would think Fernando's...
They're probably already back in Italy by now.
Well, the biggest problem is we got Hungary next week. It's back-to-back.
Oh, so maybe they're in Hungary already.
Perhaps. I don't think so. I think there's a lot of things going to need to be sorted out. I don't think this is ever going to happen again at Ferrari. At least I don't...
I know. Not for another 8 years.
Well, you know, the other thing is, like I said, Felipe didn't have to submit. He didn't have to let it go.
And frankly, he needs to be a better actor, too, about it. You know, if he's going to give it up, he needs to make it look like he lost it and not that he just, okay, go ahead. You know, he should have just put his arm out the window and waved him past, you know, for...
Yeah. I don't know, but it would have been more fun if Felipe Massa stayed in the lead and got everybody mad. But in the end, he would have been the hero.
Yeah, and I think you may have hit the point in that he's in a position where he can't.
Exactly.
His contract says that if the team tells me to pull over, exactly, I have to pull over. You know, I can't just, you know, basically that's, you know, insubordination and they can fire me.
I agree. So, and of course, I'm sure there were team meetings before the start of the race where all this was talked about because Fernando was on the front row. Felipe Massa was third. Lots of possibilities there. So we could talk about this for a long time, but still very bizarre and totally unexpected.
Yeah, definitely not something I expected them to get Fernando. I expected Fernando to pass him.
I did too.
Given the position.
I agree. I thought Fernando could just pressure Felipe into a couple of mistakes at the hairpin.
Yeah, we saw him, Felipe, constantly, several, probably half a dozen times or more, locking him up, going into corners with Fernando on his tail. They didn't need to give him the position. Fernando probably could have earned it.
I agree. Not sure what Ferrari's thinking is, but it's just it's not good.
I think, frankly, what Ferrari was thinking was, look what happens if you don't tell your team what to do in Turkey. You know, looking at Turkey and going, look what happens if you don't tell your team what to do.
Yeah, so you got one extreme to the other.
Yeah.
So it's a little bizarre, but there you have it, Formula One. Always exciting.
Always.
So stay tuned for the midweek show. Of course, we'll have all the race updates from Motorsports Mondial with Nasser. It's going to be very exciting. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Good night.